Blog Talk Radio.
And I never thought I'd feel this way. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad I got that I do believe I love you. And if I should ever go away, well then close your eyes and try. Feel the way we do today. And then if you can remember, keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you sure. That's what friends are for good times and bad times. I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are for.
Well, you're
Shabbat Shalom, Israel family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yahweh, of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll remind everyone to grab your study tools, your notepads, your iPads, your pens, your pencils, your Bibles, your Bible dictionary, your regular dictionary, any source that you may use for a good study. And if you can hear me, give me a thumbs up. Let me know that I'm coming out loud and clear. And as always, I'll start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to you yet another Sabbath day. Give you praise and give you honor through thy Son, Yahushua. We thank you for the lessons and the blessings that you've bestowed upon us throughout the course of this week. We thank you for the comfort and the care that you've given us throughout the course of this week. We thank you for the love that you've shared with us throughout the course of this week. Father, we thank you for being what we need you to be throughout the course of this week. And we give praise and give honor to you on this day. This is the day that you set apart, that you will meet with us. And we thank you for that also. In Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with faith, love, and favor, gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. I repeat, I'm your host, Yahra'al, and this is Can It Be That Simple? And as you heard in the opening song, talking about friends, and that's what this lesson is about. And the title of this lesson is, Would You Call Me Your Friend? And, you know, the lesson, you know, was generated by, you know, an event that happened throughout the course of the week with me, and had an opportunity to hang out with my friends, you know, some of my friends. And we had a really, really good time. And then, you know, and the scripture that came to my mind was how Abraham was called the Mighty One's friend. And so that's where the lesson is coming from, that aspect. And, you know, is the Mighty One our friend? And if he's our friend, are we a friend to him? Because, you know, when we get into the definition of the term friend, it's really interesting. At least I found it interesting. So I'm going to start off in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8. And it reads, But you, Yisrael, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend. So, looked up the word friend in this particular scripture, and it's 157. Ahab. And if you, the definition for it is to love, be loved, like, friend. Comes from a primitive root to mean to have affection for. So that's the definition that's written in the Hebrew. And it's another thing in regards to this particular word that they use for friend in this particular scripture. It's the only time that it is actually used in the scriptures. From here, we're going to go to the dictionary. I looked it up in the etymology dictionary that was online, and this is the definition that it gave for a friend. Because they also showed in these definitions that a friend can also be a noun and it can also be a verb. So I'm gonna read the two definitions, and you know, one for the noun and one for the verb. Okay, friends. This is the noun definition. In Old English, and this is the Old English definition. This is where it comes from. It says, one attached to another by feelings, a personal regard, and preference. So one of the things, I looked up the word regard, because it says personal regard. And when you look up the word regard, that means, you know, you personally respect this person. You respect their opinion. You respect, you know, them as an individual.
you know, so when you have a friend and you have feelings for this person and you have personal regards and preference for this person because you have identified this person as someone that you like or someone that is close to you. Definition, this is the verb definition. And it says in the Facebook sense, a test from 2005 from the now friend occasionally has been used as a verb in English since 1200s to be friends. Though the more used in a verb for joining into friendship. So when you deal with friend from a verb perspective is joining into a friendship, the act of a friend or befriending someone. That is the verb aspect of the term friend. Then you have the term friendship, which is a noun also, and it means mutual liking or regards. You know, I guess when you put the term ship on the end of it, it makes it, turns it into like or something. Mutual liking or regards. So from here, we're going to go to James chapter 2, verse 23. So that's just a brief synopsis of the term friend. And as we read these scriptures, bear in mind what a friend is based on the definitions from the Hebrew and from the English. James chapter 2, verse 23, and it says, so the scriptures was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed Mighty One, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of Mighty One. So from here, we're going to go to, we're going to look up the term friend and see what it means from when we come down to the Greek definition for it. And so I use the help word study definition for this particular word. And it's 5384, and it's philos. And the definition is a friend, someone dearly loved, it has in parentheses a prize, in a personal, intimate way, a trusted confidant, held dear in close bond of a personal affection. Note, the root philo conveys exponential personal affection indicated in 5.53.84. Express experience-based love. So when we look at the term philos or we look at the term friend from the Greek, it means, you know, experience-based love. So this is, you know, so, you know, before I go there, I looked the word credential up, and it means involving or based on experience or observation. So when we look at this love that's being expressed between, you know, the Most High and Abraham, it's based on him doing something. It's based on his observations. So when we, as believers, pay attention to our life and the things that we do, and we deal, interact with other people, sometimes our friendship is based on our cohesion, how we work together with another person, and how when we experience certain things with people, and that causes a closer and tighter bond. So from here, we're going to go to James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. And it reads, but be ye doers of the word, and not only hearers, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. For he sees himself, and goes away and immediately forget what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of freedom and continues, not being a hearer who forgets, but the doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does. From here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 2, verse 13, and it reads, "For it isn't the hearer of the law who are righteous before mighty one of the law who will be justified." So as we read these scriptures, it's talking about doing something. You know, we have to hear things first. And once we hear these things, we have to put these things that we hear into work. Just like when Israel heard the mighty one speak. And they said to the mighty one, you know, "We will do, you know, let us hear what Moses say. We will do what you say," you know. So when we look at that from the, and the Most High said to them, you've done well. You've done well. Why? Because ultimately you have to do things. And the more you do things, the more you understand why you're doing these things. And see, and that's what we've learned over the years, repetition, repetition, repetition. So the more you do things, and then like we just come out of Passover, and one of the questions that, you know, we read on the liturgy is, you know, when your sons come to you and ask you why. So when you're doing things and someone comes to you and asks you why, you give them an answer of why you're doing these things. You're letting them know that you understand why you're doing these things. And you're just not arbitrarily just doing them. You're learning, you know, as one of the things we will learn from Abraham, and even our day-to-day life, we learn by trial and error. We learn by the things that we experience with one another and ultimately what we experience with the Most High being in our life. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2, and then I'm going to read verses 10 through 12. And it reads, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. "After these things, Mighty One tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Now, only son Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you of.'" Verse 10, "Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. Yahweh's angel called to him out of the sky and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' He said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear Mighty One, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. I went there because this is showing, you know, as you know, we read in the first one, it said how the Mighty One tested Abraham. So Abraham had been going through various situations or various tests, and that this is the, you know, we're going to say this is the icing on the cake, where the Mighty One was checking to see whether or not Abraham loved him. And as you see in this narrative, he did love him. And Most High realized that he loved him. Just like one of the things we've learned about when Israel went through the wilderness, you know, he said, "I'm going to try them. I'm going to try them to see if they are going to humble themselves and keep my laws, statutes, and judgments." And as we know, a generation died in the wilderness. Why? Because they were stiff-necked and hard-headed and complained and complained and complained. From here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 8 through 9, and then 13 and 4 to 14, and then verse 22. And it reads, "But Noah found favor in Yahweh's eyes. This is the history of the generations of Noah. Noah was right, was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. Noah walked with Yahweh." Verse 13, "Yahweh said to Noah, I will bring an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them and the earth. Make a ship of gopher wood. You shall make rooms in the ship and shall seal it inside and outside with pitch." Verse 22, "This Noah did. He did all that Yahweh commanded him." When we in this particular narrative, this is showing that there was a friendship that the Most High had with Noah, because he picked him out of this generation to do a task for him, and Noah did it. He listened to him, and he did it. Just like the thing with Abraham. He listened to him, and he did it. From here, we're going to go to Amos chapter 3, verse, and we've read this one many times, and it reads, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed?" Now, we've talked about this scripture many times where, you know, we as individuals look at this scripture and say, me and my friend, or me and someone else are walking together and agreeing with one another. But this is, we've come to understand that this is talking about walking with the Most High, walking with Yahushua, listening to what he is saying and agreeing with what he says, because he agrees with what his father say. So if we agree with Yahushua, then that means we agree with his father. We agree with Abba. And we can be chosen and be a friend to him. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 15, verse 13 to 15, and it reads, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." And this is the same, and this word friends in this scripture is the same friend that we read earlier when it was identifying friend as being how Abraham was a friend to the Mighty One. 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master does. But I have called you friends, for everything that I heard from my father, I have made known to you." So we're going to go back to that initial scripture that I read. I read, "But you, Yisrael, my servant." See, Yisrael in the beginning was a servant to the Most High. But when we get down to Yahushua and his relationship with Yisrael, he changed it. He changed it from being a servant to being a friend. See, because now Yisrael, it was in a position where they can know exactly what the Father wants done. And if they know what the Father wants done, then they can pass that information on to everyone, giving everyone an opportunity to be a friend to the Most High, to be a friend to the Father. And what did he tell them? Told them, if you listen to me, if you do what I command you. And that's what we read earlier about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Oh, I'm going to read verses 12 and 13 also. And it reads, he called to himself the 12 and began to send them out two by two. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Verse 12, they went out and preached that the people should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed many with oil who were sick and healed them. Yahushua informed his servants that they were his friends, gave them authority, and sent them out to do a work. Same thing with us. If we have a relationship with Yahushua, we're his friends. He sends us out to do a work. Abraham was a friend to the Most High. He sent him out to do a work. Just like Noah, he sent him out to do a work. But the question is, are you a friend to him, or are you just a mere servant? Because when you understand the difference between a friend and a servant, his servant is just doing it because he has to do it. He don't, you know, he's doing it because he might be getting paid for it. He's doing it because there is a level of benefit for him. But a friend does things for an individual because they genuinely love them. They genuinely care for them. And it's not about what I did for you and what you did for me is about the relationship and the closeness of that relationship, the camaraderie, going through the ups and the downs, and understanding that together we can get through this. You lift me up, I lift you up, we lift each other up. And we know, you know, when we lift up the Most High, what is that doing? That's just being a testimony. People who may not know him, who might just see him as an overseer, but not see him for the true character that he wants us to know about him, which is that aspect of love, which is that aspect of caring. And we have to do that and demonstrate that with one another. Doing things because we genuinely care for one another. We care for one another. We love one another. We have regards for one another. And we're not just mere associates because of this and that. Associates, or we keep each other's company because we just been around each other for a long time. We have to genuinely care about each other, just like Yahushua genuinely cared about his disciples, like he genuinely cared about humanity. And that's why we just come out of Passover and we understand this is why he laid his life down. He laid his life down so that humanity can have an opportunity to meet his Father. So, friends and family, this was a very, very short lesson. Very short lesson. Sometimes they don't have to be long in order for you to get the meat of it, get the gist of it. experience one another. We have to have mutual purpose and mutual respect for one another and operate in that. We have a genuine love for one another. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Merciful Father, has come before thee on behalf of my home, my family, and my extended family, Beth Yahweh congregation, and all Israel. We ask of thee, Father, to open our minds, understand that you are our friend, and that we want to be a friend to you also. Help us to utilize the keys that have been given to us to open that word up and see ourselves in it as a friend in yours, as a friend to Yahushua, as a friend to each other, so that we can be just like you are to us, to one another. Eya, Asha, Eya. Giving us the skills or giving us the wisdom to be what we need to be to one another, to get through the experiences that we have to go through in this life for you, for your purpose. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us in your ways and in your truth. Continue to open up your word to us, and may we see the wondrous truths in your word. Continue to strengthen our relationship with Yahushua as we continue in your word. May we continue to have good and better relationships with our friends and family as we share your word with them and with others. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and bringing us to this moment to give praise to you through thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. We thank you, Father, once again, for suffering with us on this Shabbat day and giving and helping us to continue to give praise to your holy name through Yahushua. We thank you, Abba, once again, for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you, Father, for forgiving us for the sins we have committed against thee and only thee that we committed them. We thank you for your forgiveness. We ask of thee to continue to strengthen us that we forgive others just as you forgive us. For the more we forgive others, the more humble we become in your word and in your truth. The more we begin to understand it, your word even more. So we learn more about the humility that Yahushua showed by coming down in the flesh to sup with us, to live amongst us, and to ultimately die by us. But it was for your glory, O Yah, that he did this thing. Because it was through that that we understood and learned about who you are through Yahushua. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for Yahushua, our Lord, our Redeemer, and soon coming King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. May you all continue to enjoy this Shabbat day. May you all have a peaceful and restful slumber. May Abba continue to protect you in your conscious mind as well as your unconscious mind through thy son, through his son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, soon coming King. Shabbat shalom, Israel, family, and listening audience.
Now I am humble, so I bow down. Nice to meet to you. I give you me as a living sacrifice. Yeah. Everything I do is for you. You swallow me like a vein. Only in you I put my faith. Spoke to my heart today. When I think of you, it's hallelujah. I give all praise to you, cause you're worthy. I can't explain, it's something that most can't attain. There's so much joy in thee. Righteous is your holy name. Your ways, your thoughts, they remain the same. You took me and broke me down.
Down.
You refine me when you try me through the fire.
We will do what you say.
To save us from fatal destruction. All you say.